her to this point. One being her husband, another her sister Rose, and yet another her own mother. Today is special. It's not only a time of baptism, it's a time to demonstrate our appreciation for our mothers. Now, mothers, you may be here this morning and you're just feeling, maybe, you know, like you schedule everything in just so. And you may feel like this mother today. Sunday at church, clean house, big cake, celebrate Mother's Day from 1 to 1:30. But I have news for you. There's actually a gift that us as husbands can purchase for you, and it's, I think, available today. You guys can pick it up. Well, yeah. That is a thought, though. Ian, what are you doing? There we go. It's the perfect watch for mothers. Every day is 36 hours. A father loves, please. That you get a carnation, because we have carnations for you today, so you make sure to pick that up. Mothers, you affect children in so many ways that none of us here walk through life without having some other people. You affect people in so many ways, in ways you don't even recognize or notice you're affecting people. The question is, how are you affecting people? When people see you coming, are they almost relieved to see you, or are they just ducking the other way, trying to find a place to hide? How do you affect people? We affect people. What effect do you have on others? I believe everyone in the sanctuary has an effect on somebody. And I think that you truly desire more than anything to be a positive effect on people. Amen? There's a little passage in the Bible that clearly defines what we need to talk about this morning, and I'm going to be brief. But I've been away for a while, so it'll be a long brief. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 as our backdrop this morning. As we look at being an effective effect, being an effective effect requires, first of all, faith. It requires faith. Every person around you has an effect on you in some way. You probably noticed this before. Some people seem to just kind of drag you down and hinder you, always taking more from you than they give in return. Others add value to you. They improve everything you do. And when they come alongside you, something occurs that just takes both of you to a new level. Faith is an effect that is most powerful in any relationship. Now, we all have faith in something. In fact, we're going to be doing a series on faith starting next week, and so this is important. We all have faith in something. It's just what it is we have faith in is the question. Now, some have faith in their friends. Others have faith in money in the stock market. Others have faith in the price of gas. Faith is generally something that we pass along. It's that believing that others notice about us, they desire it, and they want it. Well, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and look at verse 5 as I read, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Lots of wonderful people have added value to me throughout the years of my living. And it started with my parents. It did. My father would say to me, he'd say, you know, Devin, we have 5 boys, and you were number 5. By the time you were born, you just went to the fridge and got your own milk. From the moment of my birth, my parents added value to my life. They instilled in me values and morals that would last for a lifetime. There were many friends who shaped me and helped me recognize what I needed to stay true to. Because when I hung out with them, some of them would do stuff and I would go, you know, I had to stay true, stand firm. And then the greatest accomplishment of my life was to get Joel, my wife, to marry me. Her, along with my children, they helped shape me into who I am today. Lots of wonderful people. They complement my weaknesses and they encourage my strength. And I believe that's the effect Lois and Eunice had on young Timothy. Timothy became a strong leader of faith. It's faith that gives us the self-worth that we need to believe in who we are. It's faith that gives us the strength to carry on in spite of despair. It's faith that brings us to our knees in search for answers. You heard Mitzi talk about that faith. There are so many aspects of faith that you demonstrate in so many ways with those around you, whether our belief in God or our lack of belief in Him, that all encompasses faith, and it affects those around you. Look what Paul explains. He says, I have been reminded. I love those words. If you think of just a moment, and think of those people around you. Just think of those people who have been effective in your life. Just take a moment and think of it. Maybe it's a school teacher, or maybe it is a pastor, maybe it's somebody, someone who believes in a church, maybe it's somebody who has just shaped you. What is it that you remember about that person? You remember their deep conviction, their deep-rooted strength, their courage when times were tough. What is it that you remember about them? Those people who influenced, who impacted you. Paul says, I have been reminded. There are always trigger points. Things we see, even day by day, that remind us of who God gave to us to impact us. We need more than ever in our world today. We need more than ever examples of faith. It's like this Pickles cartoon. Earl, you should set a better example for your grandson.
Well, better example of what?
Of being active, of staying in shape. Don't you know there's a big problem today?
Well, being a good example is hard. I'm trying to serve as a horrible warning instead.
Any of us would rather be a horrible warning? How many of you want to be a good example? Amen. Timothy's grandma, Lois, had such a sincere faith, and that is, she believed God. Not just believed in Him, she believed Him. And because of that known strength in God, Timothy's mother, Eunice, carried that same conviction, and Paul expressed it now, lived in Timothy. He was convinced of that. Deep-rooted faith transcended culture. It transcended age. There's no boundaries. And Paul reminded Timothy of the spiritual foundation his family gave him. Believing God was past the wall. So being an effect requires faith, and then it also requires love.
Oh, love.
Now these words in 2 Timothy, they speak not just of faith that formed the foundation of Timothy's life through the effect of his mother, his grandmother, but it was through love that faith shaped him. If you look at verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, Paul explains to Timothy, fan the flame. Have you ever fanned a flame? Any of you have ever taken a building a fire? How many of you? You all have hands. How many of you fan a flame? You look excited. I gotta tell you, I've shared this before, that Smokey the Bear, he comes to me on his, I'm president of his club, I mean, because I can't start a fire. I can't seem to get sticks of wood that are gathered together. But you give me a spark, and I can cause a whole forest fire. Really? Let me illustrate. As a family, we were camping in Cypress Hills. I was about 10 years old at the time. And it was known in my family that I could not, no matter how hard I tried, I could not start a fire. But my brother, who was older, much wiser than me, he thought, was kind of like Lucy or Charlie Brown in a football. Okay? He would always convince me, you can start. Yeah, you can do it. You can help me. You can. So we were pulling out to this campground with my father and my brother who excelled at Trailer Park. We were getting it back to him. It was through a lot of emotions, you know, like an airport thing, you know. But my brother would always try to get me out of the way, so he came up with this beautiful idea of, well, Dad, you can start the fire. Because Mom has to do the hamburgers and the wieners, so you can start the fire. And so there I am, I pull was sitting there doing the regime. My father popped the trunk out so I could get out some newsprint and just to kind of get me out of the way. And so there he saw the newsprint. And I noticed, it's a great invention, sitting beside the newspaper was a can of lighting fluid. Don't you think of that? I'm sure you're smarter than that. I thought, what a wonderful invention. And my next question was just how much to use it and stuff. And real man don't read instructions. So I remember I was only 10. I was only 10. And it had this pore firing ability. So I poured it on. Just all over the top. You know, all over this barbecue thing. Just, you know. And I don't know how much I really did use. I couldn't tell you. But then I realized, I mean, they're bad ones. They got to be more. I had no matches. What do I do? I mean, they're all busy, they're back in the turn, moving it back and forth, doing their thing. I can't ask Dad to leave the truck. And that would be a scenario in itself. But I remember, our taxes. They're magnifiers. So I remember, you know, these are magnifying glasses. I can't see very well. I'm terrifying. I'm blind and deafness is coming. But, and then I started a small corner of the newsprint, you know, just the sun, and I got it going, just a little bit, so many of us are crying, so many of us. And so then I learned from a King Panther cartoon, it was this, suspended, and the flame took off. Because I use more newsprint, you know, and I'm doing this, and the flame took off and stood with the newspaper. And I went flying. Right into some twigs and leaves that were dry, and they ran along the edge of the forest fire. Right again. Well, that started a fire, right? And that's flaming up. Meanwhile, the little spark flew on this. Goodbye. I mean, this thing, the barbecue was engulfed in flames. But I was too busy over here behind, stomping up this, doing the stomping dance, you know, to try and get this fire up. My brother takes this big gallon of Kool-Aid that my mom had cleverly brought, and he dumps it all over the barbecue. And you know what? I never had to start a fire again. Never again. Timothy was called to fan the flame. As you continue to grow, as you continue to age, continue to fan that flame that was started in you when you were young. Allow the love that was demonstrated to you in so many ways continue to increase. The faith that you serve all around you with so many people, seek ways to increase that. Our world doesn't really understand any of this. They only watch us to see what it is. We need more acceptable love in this world today, and it better come from the church. It better come from here. Because the Bible says that love is sincere, it's patient, it's kind, it's not boastful, it keeps no record of wrongs, all the bad stuff that happens to other people. We don't rejoice in that. We rejoice in the truth. Love like that shapes those around you. We need more and more examples of that kind of love in the world. I don't mean the flower kind of children of the 60s kind of love, but I mean unconditional acceptance, warts and all kind of love. So that when you start those fires in the forest fire, that people will love you anyway. Even if you don't have Kool-Aid to drink for the whole weekend. See, other people notice when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. They notice it. Well, Timothy had Eunice and Lois along for his journey. And even when they were no longer physically with him, they still influenced his life with value. That's how our life is. Harry Firestone said it well when he said, it is only as we develop others that we permanently succeed. How are you developing other people? I want to conclude our time with these words because they speak of the perfect kind of love we need to demonstrate in order to affect others. Look at verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The challenge we face is the same one Timothy confronted, that people are transformed by watching a life, not simply by listening to instruction. Jesus repeatedly reminded his followers the importance of passing faith in the next generation, yet fear often prevents us from doing it. And this is why Paul spoke these words to Timothy. Paul knew that people's opinion, they get in the way of the greater things that God has for us. Because we're afraid. You see, fear can be a very destructive force in a person's life. Fear attacks us. It makes us captive. We must stop, and we must stop leaving a heritage of fear. It's time for us to leave a heritage of faith. Amen? If you want to live life, then you must face your fear. And in order to face your fear, you must know the one who can overcome any fear. And that's God himself. And when God is on your side, you have nothing, literally nothing to fear. You can share beyond what you even thought possible. Paul reminded Timothy that God didn't give him fear, but he gave him the tools to pass along faith and love to others. That's what these candles are all about. I mentioned at the beginning of our baptismal celebration, it contains a lot of symbolism. Well, listen, the candle symbolism creates within us a desire to share our experience of Christ with others. Mitzi's baptism this morning involved many Christians speaking into her life, praying for her, and with her, demonstrating Christ to her in various ways, which brought her to this place today. So it's fitting for us to speak of this heritage on a day such as Mother's Day, for moms and dads always affect the children. Like the little boy forgot his lines in his Sunday school presentation, his mother was in the front row, and she was prompting him, and she gestured, and she formed the words slightly with her lips. It didn't help, and her son's memory was blank, and he just stood there. And, you know, she leaned forward, and she whispered in cute, "I'm the light of the world." And the child beamed, great feeling, loud, clear voice. He said, very, very pointedly, "My mother is the light of the world." We need more and more Christians like that. Softly emitting the light of the world. These candles give us a picture of commitment. They present to us the reality that our walk with God is such a powerful, life-giving tool that others need to see it. And there's one candle here that's not lit, and that candle is for you. And maybe you realize today that need for yours. For you to commit yourself fully to following Christ. Maybe you need to follow Christ's example and become obedient to him as we've heard and seen here this morning. That candle awaits you. It's your candle. But maybe also you've walked through these waters. And now it's time for you to light the candle for someone. It might be your neighbor. It might be a friend at school. It might be somebody you work with. But you know somebody needs to be told about who Jesus is. That candle awaits for you to light it. Don't deprive your light from shining. Rejoice with the light. Worship the light that sent into this world. Give us the supreme example. Let your heart burn with the fire of God's love. Fan the flame begun in you even this morning. And let that fire spread. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we want nothing more than to glorify in who you are. Lord, we rejoice today. We rejoice today in who you are. And Lord, I know there's probably people here sitting here today. They've been sitting on the fence. Maybe, Lord, they just kind of thought, well, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in him. Maybe they've never believed. So this morning, the quietness this morning, and ask if you're going to say it to him today, to God himself, God, in a fresh way today, I not just believe in you, I will believe you. And while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're going to say, I believe you, God, I believe you to take me on this journey. I don't like sometimes where I'm going, but you help me, God. I need your help, but I believe you. I want to stand up, and I want to stand up and say that I have that faith of believing you, and I have that love that I need to express to others. I love them so much, Lord, I want them to believe you. If you're willing to say that to him today, to God himself, if you're willing to say that to him, I'm invite you to stand up where you are. Keep your eyes closed. Just stand up where you are. If you want to say that, if you want to say that, may the Lord bless you. Just stand up where you are. I believe in God. And I'm willing, God, to go out of my way. Present your faith and your love to others. And I believe in you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, just stand. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. God sees those people. Lord bless you, God sees you all standing. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, God sees you standing. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all of you standing. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Let us all stand, keep our eyes closed. Father God, today in a powerful way, you have spoken to our heart, the very core of our being. And Lord, it wasn't through simply your message, it was through, Lord, what you have used and how you've used other people like Lois and Eunice and Timothy's. Lord, you've impacted each one of our lives in so many ways. We, Lord, now surrender ourselves to you. This church is yours, God. We don't want to hinder in any way our relationship with you. And so we surrender ourselves today as a church. Lord, may you be glorified through all that we say and through all that we do to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.